I can remember in my younger days, I did have younger days, in my younger days, there was a singer by the name of Anthony Newley, and he sang a song, and in it said, "Stop the world, I want to get off." And sometimes when I get up out of my chair, I think, "Stop the world, it's spinning around." But here I am. Would you like to turn to, I think Julie's going to put it up, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter the town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Now, those of you who have a good memory will no doubt recall that in February of this year, I spoke about the 10 lepers who asked Jesus to heal them, and he did. But in the Bible studies we do at Roger and Sue's home, as we were studying Mark's Gospel, we came to this morning's text, and I felt it would be good to look at this incident also. So this morning, I want us to look at a single leper who came to Jesus and the different response that Jesus gave to this man than the response that he gave to the 10 lepers. From the previous verses in this first chapter of Mark's Gospel, we see that Jesus has decided to travel around Galilee preaching. As he's traveling around, a man with leprosy comes to him. Throwing himself on his knees before Jesus, he says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, in order to realize what is so special about this encounter, we need to understand what it meant to be a leper in those days. Leprosy was, and still is, a terrible disease. It kills from the outside in. The victim's flesh literally rotted away as they died, one limb at a time. It's a disease of the nervous system which causes its victim to lose all sense of touch and pain. Initially, it usually starts in the fingers and toes, then spreading up the arms and the legs. And without a sense of touch, the ill person eventually damages his toes, fingers and feet. He'll knock them, cut them and get infections and not notice. Dr. Paul Brand, a Christian missionary who conducted some of the most influential research into the disease, tells of his investigation of why lepers in a certain colony in India were missing so many fingers and toes. There were isolated incidents of these digits being knocked off and recovered, but many of the lepers seemed to lose them at night with no trace left. So Dr. Brand had attendants stay up all night to watch, and they found that rats were chewing off the lepers' fingers and toes at night, but the victims didn't wake because they felt nothing. As the leprosy spreads, many lepers go blind, not because of the disease itself, but because without feeling in their eyes, they forget to blink. In Jesus' day, people with this appalling disease of leprosy were shunned. They were ritually unclean and couldn't participate in any religious activities. They were cast out of society and forced to live a desperate life apart from family and loved ones. Not only were lepers considered ritually unclean, they were thought to be highly contagious. They were not allowed to come near people or near the village. In those days, there was no cure for leprosy, and the average time from contracting the disease until inevitable death was about 9 years. Leprosy was a dreadful disease, and although it was not physically painful, the psychological effects were devastating. To be shunned and kept from all contact with ordinary people, to know that you're suffering from a disease that will rot away your flesh and slowly kill you, was the greatest suffering of these people. And the man in our text this morning was just such a leper. He was once part of a family. Maybe he even had wife and children, but now he's not allowed to go anywhere near them. Can you imagine how lonely and isolated this man must have felt? Just think about it. How many years without human contact? How many years without even experiencing the simplest human touch? And when this man comes to Jesus, he doesn't ask that he be completely healed and restored. He doesn't ask that his missing fingers, etc., grow back. All he asks is that Jesus make him clean, ceremonially and ritually and socially and in every way clean. Clean so that he can once again be accepted by his family and friends. Clean so that once again he can go to the temple and be accepted by the priests and by God. Now it really must have taken a great deal of courage for him to approach Jesus. First of all, he had to negotiate his way through the crowds. Although they would have recoiled in horror and made way for him, they'd have been very angry that he even dared to come in their midst. And then he had to approach Jesus, a respected travelling preacher, and make his request. I'm not sure what he expected from Jesus. Maybe he was so used to rejection that if Jesus had rejected him too, then it's only what he was used to. But such was his desperation that he was willing to risk the rejection and the anger of the crowd in the faint hope that Jesus would at least listen to him. And as he fell down on his knees before Jesus, he was facing his last and only hope. And in that desperation, he cries out to Jesus, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And as Jesus looked down upon him, do you know what he did? Jesus touched him. Jesus reached out his hand and deliberately touched the leper. Very deliberately, he touched this pitiful wretch, this creature whose very flesh was rotting and falling from him. Jesus touched this desperate man and made him well. Now, Jesus could have just spoken a word and accomplished the same thing. We know he could do that because we'd seen Jesus do it before. That's what he did for the 10 lepers, what they spoke about earlier. But this man with leprosy needed more than just a word of healing. He needed human touch. He needed acceptance. You know, the power of touch is an amazing thing. Have you ever noticed those in love? Whenever they're together, they just can't help touching and holding each other. And whenever somebody's hurt, what's the first reaction of those near them? They hug them and hold them, and somehow that conveys comfort to the one who is hurt. It's the same when children get into scrapes and get themselves really filthy. Mothers don't usually run from the dirty children, even though they may get covered with filth themselves. You know how it is. Mum hears a distressed cry of her child and looks up. Her precious child has fallen face first in the mud and now comes running towards her, tears streaming through the dirt. Here the child comes with mud on its clothes and face, in its hair, eyes, ears and mouth. And what does the mother do? She takes the child into her arms. Not thinking that she might dirty her own clothes, she comforts it and gently cleans all the sand and dirt and gunk from its eyes, ears and nostrils. She loves it, she cleans it, and she comforts it. That child has come to her in effect saying through its tears, "I'm in a mess, I can't clean myself. If you're willing, you can make me clean." And she is willing. Did you know that studies have shown that babies who are not properly nurtured, babies that fail to receive enough care and love, babies that lack human contact, can fail to grow and mature properly? I'm sure that many of us will remember the headlines in the 1990s as the horror of Romania's orphanages were revealed to the world. Children, many of them only babies and toddlers, were in cots and beds in dilapidated and grossly understaffed orphanages. They had very little care, very little company, and they suffered terribly, both physically and mentally. They had no experience of a loving, caring touch, and no concept of being loved. People in the West adopted many of these children as they could, but they found that these children had no sense of what it meant to be loved and cared for, and their rehabilitation took a long time, and tragically, some never recovered from their experiences. Experts tell us what most mothers already know. It's impossible to spoil an infant with too much love. Now, what works for babies also works for adults. Studies have also shown the positive psychological effects of touch for adults. One researcher made numerous studies on the effects of the practice that many Christians recognise as laying on of hands. That's touching for prayer and blessing. What that researcher discovered is that when one person touches another in love and blessing, the hemoglobin levels in the bloodstream of both people go up, which means that the body tissues receive more oxygen, producing more energy, leading to regenerative power. In other words, touch can heal. And we know that, don't we? As Jesus knew that, and so Jesus supplied what the leper needed most, and he touched him. The man needed to be touched. His spirit longed for that human contact. So Jesus touched him and made him well. Other people need other things. Remember the paralyzed man who was lowered down through the hole in the roof by his friends? To him, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." For some reason, he apparently needed to hear that word as much as he needed to be made well. Jesus knew that, and that's what Jesus supplied. But this leper needed to be touched, and so Jesus touched him and made him well. In the mother and toddlers group we have at church, we have a lot of babies. And one certainty about babies is that however sweet and cute they are, they're not toilet trained. Inevitably, one or more will fill their nappy. Now, it might be something to do with me being a man, or possibly because I'm a grumpy old man, but that smell really gets up my nose. I wonder how anyone could possibly change that child and clean and tend and really care for it. But then you see the mother of the baby, and you see how she picks it up, takes it to the baby changing area and deals with the mess. Mothers have that built-in ability to see past the dirt and unpleasantness and see the needy child within. And I'm afraid I couldn't do that. I'm not quite sure whether I ever changed any of my children's nappies, but Joan will tell you because it will have been such a monumental event she'll never forget it. But the lesson that we can learn today from this story is that God knows what we need and God will supply it. God can see past the dirt and the unpleasantness in us and see the needy person within. Today we see how Jesus responded in exactly the same way to the leper, who to a Jew was the ultimate in uncleanness. And this incident gives us a beautiful picture of the way that Jesus responds to us when we come to him, admitting our own inadequacies, acknowledging that he alone can make us clean, and throwing ourselves on his mercy. The man in the story today needed Jesus' touch, and that's exactly what Jesus gave him. "I am willing," Jesus said, and touching him, he said, "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left the man and he was cured. But this is different to how he responded to the 10 lepers who called to him. He did respond to them and he did cleanse them, but they stayed at a distance. They didn't come near to Jesus and he didn't go near to them. He respected their choice not to draw close. And as they went to see the priest, they were cleansed, just as they'd asked. Well, nine of them did. But one, a Samaritan, came back to Jesus and thanked him for the miraculous cleansing. Jesus told this one who returned that not only was he cleansed from leprosy, but he was saved. He was welcome as a child of God. Yes. But the man in today's encounter did come close to Jesus, and he fell at his feet in recognition of who Jesus truly was. Jesus responded by touching and accepting this man. In doing it, Jesus showed that leper, as he showed all the crowd around him, that no one is too unclean, No one is too bad. No one has done anything that will ever stop him from being willing to minister to them and make them clean. And that still applies to us today. He's still waiting to minister to each and every one of us. That's what God can do for us. God can cleanse us and make us whole if we just trust in him. God wants to supply our every need. There was no medical science to treat leprosy when Jesus healed that man. There was no known treatment or medicine that could possibly restore his body and make him clean, that could revive his dead limbs and restore him to his family again. Only the power of Christ could do that. In the same way, there are many today who have lost faith in God's power for their lives. There are many who believe that life is just what you make of it. Those who believe that the best way to get through life is just get on with it. There are some who never come near the church, and there are some who are here often, but were spiritually dead, without feeling a purpose or meaning or strength of faith. And if you're one of those people, and if your biggest need is to have your faith in God renewed and begin to trust in the Almighty again, then I've got good news for you. God says, I am willing. I am willing to fill you with faith if you open your heart to me. I am willing to cleanse your soul and relieve the burden of sin that you carry if you'll only turn to me. I'm willing to lead and guide you, comfort you and strengthen you for whatever life brings your way, if you'll only trust in me. God says to you, personally, every one of you, I love you so much that I sent my only son to live among you so that you could see just how much you mean to me. But don't be like the 10 lepers and call on Jesus from far off. Be like the leper in this morning's text. Come close to Jesus and let him touch you. That's all he's asking of you. But I must issue a warning here. You need to be very careful. God doesn't want to be your co-pilot. He wants to sit in the driver's seat. God doesn't want to play second fiddle for you. He wants to conduct the music of your life. He doesn't want to have just a passing relationship with you. He wants to be your master and Lord. So why don't you let him do just that? Why not come to God with all your joys and all your sorrows, all your hurts and all your insecurities, and just say, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me whole. Just ask him, and I know what he'll say. I am willing. Amen.